right, Luke Wilson will join us in about 5 minutes. Look ahead to the divisional round with Luke. Harry Higgs with a hole-in-one today.
Yeah.
And your boy Ricky Fowler not having a good time. Not having a good time.
I don't know how many more times I can go back to the well and just say Rick's going to turn it around. Maybe it's game over. Dude, you know who else is going to be the world number one sooner or later? Is your guy, Rick Hovland. He's over in Europe, and he's around the leaderboard every single time he tees it.
He's so good. He's
dude,
such
he's
a
so
good, player.
Good.
Yeah, well, he crushes the ball. His irons are crazy. It's just everyone said wedge play, and, you know, it's a short game thing. Once he dials that down, because he's jacked, he can hit the ball with anyone, and he hits it consistently. Yeah, he's a top 10 player in the world, I think. I don't know if he's technically in the top 10
all day.
Rankings, but
all day
he
is.
Yeah, he is. So Patrick Cantlay is currently in the lead. He's at 10 under. He's still on the course. But you've got Johnny Rahm's up there at 6 under. That's your boy this week. And it's not
Johnny Rahm's.
John
yeah.
Rahm. Yep. There's
how are you guys doing?
Cantlay
Rahm
just dials
him
in a 10 under for fun.
Yeah.
See,
outrageous.
Now.
Finau, yeah, he was on. I don't know. It's a long list. There's a big field. It's a pretty big field. Your boy Lebiota has actually had himself a pretty good day.
The long shot.
Yeah, that's worth something, man. And Phil,
that
yours,
is. Though. Who
that
you
was
took
O's pick. Yeah, O's pick. I
who
took
Tringali?
That was Hazy's long shot.
Yeah.
Okay,
because
I got that.
That was a major
up.
Benefit. Tringali's been around a while, and
he's played.
He does some work.
Yeah. Phil Mickelson will have his engine purring tomorrow.
Dude, I think he's the ambassador for this tournament. He missed the cut last year. He's plus 6 or 7 now. That's a tough gig when you're like kind of the guy. It's your tournament, and you go out there and start chopping it around like a 10 handicap. Mm-hmm. But I guess the sponsors don't care because you're going to start doing dinners and
he'll be there all weekend.
Sauced up. Oh yeah,
he'll be in the booth. He'll be probably in the booth at some point during the weekend. And, yeah, he's the poster boy. Out of the bunker, that crazy 15-foot bunker or whatever, that's Phil. So, anyway, yeah, Ricky Fowler, our boy, won over. Patrick Reed with his new PXG gear. He's at 1 under. So, anyway, we'll track that throughout the weekend. We'll see what happens. Yeah, our boy Luke Wilson will join us here in a moment. I'm getting jacked up for this weekend, the games. And everyone's trying to pinpoint one team that's dealing with more pressure. And I really think you could look at a number of different cases. Like, in a weird way, you could say Tampa's dealing with pressure, even though they just won the Super Bowl last year. When you've got a quarterback who's 44 and he's still in the zone, you got to take advantage of that, right? Like, you have to keep winning because there will be a cliff in his future. He will fall off it. Brady will not consistently be one of the best 3 or 4 players in the league until he's 50 or 55 years old.
You saying the Rams smoked the Bucs?
No, I don't think so. But I think the Rams have a ton of pressure on them this weekend because they're all in on this team. They've traded so many first round picks and assets, and they went out and got Stafford, and they're up against the cap, and you know, they have obvious pressure. The Packers have obvious pressure because this might be the last run for Aaron Rodgers. Tennessee, this might be the best chance they ever get to win a Super Bowl. Like, you can just go down the list. And you can apply pressure on almost every scenario. Buffalo, never won a Super Bowl. Got to do it at some point. Got to beat Kansas City. Pressure on them. Here's our TSN NFL analyst, Super Bowl champ, Luke Wilson. Do you think that's fair, Luke? Do you think you could apply pressure or some sort of a pressure narrative to almost every team playing this weekend?
Definitely. I mean, you can apply that narrative, but the best teams are going to go out and just not – think like that, if you will. You know, the years that we went to the Super Bowl, Pete was pretty adamant on being like, listen, if you trust our abilities, if the first year we're 13-3, next year 12-4, we're the one seed both years. He was like, we got to prepare just like we've played every other game this year. You know, don't press too hard. Don't let any of that, you know, pressure kind of seep in, because that's when you start making things out. You know, you're just little on edge. And if you're a Super Bowl team, just playing your own game will get you there, if that makes sense.
Luke, how much does the Tom Brady factor have like a mental screw on the opposition. Like, just seeing him get it done every time and always win in Super Bowl, and he's 45 and he continues to do it, does that screw with your psyche? Like, if you're Stafford or just the coach, like, just Tom Brady, the aura of it, does it screw with people?
Yes, but I would say this is something that really annoys me, and has annoyed me my entire career, is it messes more with coaches than it does with players. I found that in my career, a lot of times you get these coaches and they'd stand in front of the team and they'd say this, or they'd project this message. But then when game time comes, it was like they didn't really apply the message that they gave us to themselves. And I thought one of those moments for me was actually when we played New England in the Super Bowl. It was like the most absurd preparation I think I've ever had because of Bill Belichick. And it's like whenever you played Bill, it was like, oh, Bill's this genius. Bill's this genius. We got to be ready for everything. We got to do this. We got to prepare for that. What if Bill decides to do this?
Yeah.
So for like Tom, it's opposite, where it's like, you know, late in the game, let's say you have a close game going and you're Sean McVay. You know, to me, you still play by the book. You play what you've always done all year. But a lot of times you'll see coaches start to call plays in the sense of, hey, don't give Tom the ball back. We don't want the ball in Tom's hands. And you're playing a dangerous game there because you're really getting out of the groove of what you're trying to accomplish or what you've accomplished all year.
Overthinking it.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I hate to poke at prod then. I mean, that pick on the 2-yard line, was that Belichick? Like, you were thinking Marshawn Lynch can't possibly run this in because Belichick will somehow formulate a stop? I mean,
gutless
what was the
question?
You know,
it had to be asked. It had to be.
Well, it's funny you say that, but long story short, one of the reasons for that whole situation that I was told, which I don't think anyone fully knows what went on, other than maybe three people, but you know, in the NFL, the offense subs in their personnel, and the defense has the ability to adjust. You know, it's pretty standard. Is if you're a defensive coach, you kind of look, hey, are they going to what we would call zebra in Seattle, basically 11 personnel, three wideouts, one tight end, one running back, and then, okay, we're going to play nickel defense against that. Or if you go to more of a heavier personnel, you know, you have a fullback, running back, tight end in the game, now all of a sudden you're going to go to a base personnel on defense. You just basically, most teams will match, if that makes sense. Not always, but most teams. Well, in that situation, before we had even called a player, subbed any personnel in, Matt Patricia and Bill Belichick rolled out their defensive goal line front. So that was actually what started, from what I was told, spurred the idea of throwing it, is that nobody in their right mind would ever throw their goal line front out without seeing if we're in our, let's call it, jumbo personnel package. So then it was kind of like, hey, if they have goal line out there, shouldn't we be able to throw the ball, and we're going to get man coverage, which we knew. They're going to play cover zero, which they did. Like, we kind of knew what they were going to do, and we called a play based on that. Again, you go into overthinking. It's like the reality of the play we called, I would say if we ran that play 100 times, 80 times, we probably score a touchdown. 19 times, it's probably incomplete. And one time, it's intercepted. And that's what happened. You know, we roll the dice. If you're me, you know, yeah, they roll out their jumbo or goal line defense. That's fine with me still. I'm like, okay, no problem. We're rolling our jumbo. Mono-a-mono. We have Marshawn Lynch, and we have some big boys up front playing O-line. Like, let's put it in their hands. But obviously, it didn't happen. And obviously, I'm sitting here talking to you with one Super Bowl instead of two.
That's right. Yeah, I didn't listen. I didn't want to go down that road. It was on a platter for me. Someone had to step up these other
two.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Turn their mics
I
off.
I felt like I needed to go. I've never actually done this. But you ever hear those guys go to, like, is it ayahuasca in some weird country and just clear the demons out of your soul?
Right.
That's what it felt like for a while, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that was.
Unfortunately, I didn't go that route, but I feel like that might actually have been more healthy than the route that I did go.
Right. I think
which was get gooned every night for a month.
Exactly. You nailed it. You nailed it. But not in the sense of like fun going out getting gooned either. It was like come home, get bombed, and play video games and cry about what just happened.
It was right there for you. It was right there, the goal yeah. line package. Anyway, you got one, buddy. That's all that matters. You got that one ring. You guys did it.
No doubt.
With Luke Wilson. So are you speaking of Brady, I mean, I think it was Rob Ninkovich this week peddling the idea that maybe he would shut it down this season. This could be the end of the road. Can you picture that in any scenario? Even if they lose, let's say they get crushed by LA. Can you picture a scenario where Tom Brady is not returning next season?
I can't, just because I feel like Tom is one of the few veteran guys, and I've heard this, and it kind of happened to me, and obviously I'm not trying to compare myself to Tom, but when I was younger, people would say this to me all the time. They'd be like, hey, when you get older, if you don't get injured, you're not going to retire because of playing. And I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. Like, what did they mean? They're like, you're going to retire because you're sick of the meetings. You know, the locker room isn't the same when you're 40 years old as it is when you're 24. There's just different things in your life that you kind of want to do, and you don't want to put up with a lot of the BS. It's probably the same as anyone in any job anywhere. You know, the longer you're there, the more some of the little things start to bother you. And the only way I could see that is if, you know, the Antonio Brown thing, if the locker room was that toxic this year and they've done a good job of you know, covering up, maybe. But I have a hard time believing that if you spend that many years under Bill Belichick's regime in New England, that anything from here on out is going to be that miserable.
It's probably true. It seems like it's in a better situation. And he's got Bruce Arians down there. Bruce isn't smacking him in the head, running on the field and giving him a smack like he did to the safety. And he got fined $50,000 for that.
Well, under the radar, Hazy, too. Like, that should have been big news, especially in 2022.
Like, would that be a Players Association thing, Luke, where someone at the PA would say, you better find this guy. He just walked on the field and smacked his own player in the head.
I mean, I think so. And to be honest with you, I don't really think – I think the NFL now has moved to a point of there's a coach-player relationship, and you can have dictators as coaches – but there's a certain level of respect. Like, we're not high school kids. You know, when I see that, I think of me playing high school football. And at that level, it's like you discipline, you know, you're still young enough and dumb enough that you get disciplined like you're an animal. Like, these are grown men, and it's just like, again, I kind of go back, and I don't want to dog Bruce Arians here. I don't know the guy. But it's like, how many times do you think Bruce Arians has probably spoke about to his team, hey, you got to keep your composure, don't do anything dumb. Don't do this, you know, and then the moment of truth comes for some of these coaches, and that's how they act. You know, I'm dogging a lot of NFL coaches right now, but I'm not going to lie. I find a lot of NFL coaches to be a little hypocritical when it comes to things like that.
With Luke Wilson, the one game that's getting the least amount of attention is the first one. That'll be Cincinnati at Tennessee. There's a chance Derrick Henry is going to return. It feels like he's trending in that direction. The Titans are the number one seed. Yet I find Burrow way more compelling. I think the story is Burrow and Chase. Do you agree with that? Do you think Joe Burrow trumps any other storyline that Tennessee can bring to the table?
I believe the storyline is that, and I have a very hard time picking this game. I think it's going to be very close. In my head and in my heart, I actually like Cincinnati. But on TV, I've been picking Tennessee to win this game just because Tennessee all year has barely been spoken about, and they were the one seed without Derrick Henry.
Right.
And it's like, at this point, they might not have the star power that's, you know, they don't have the Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase kind of ordeal going on, but at the same point, they're finding ways to win. Vrabel, one of my very good friends, is on the practice squad. I spoke to him a couple weeks ago, and he was saying that everybody loves Vrabel, playing for him. He's a tough coach, but just like a guy that you want to go out and grind for and win for. So I think as a team, Tennessee is just playing very, very well. They've been under the radar all year, and I'm gonna roll with them. I think they're gonna find a way to get it done, kind of like they've done all year.
Chiefs Bills. We were talking yesterday. Could this be like a shootout, 60 plus points combined? Generally, when that's the anticipation, the defense shows up. Is that possible with these two quarterbacks and these two offenses?
Definitely possible. I think the game's really going to come down to whoever wins the turnover battle. Whoever wins this turnover battle is going to win this game. And if it's even, I'm going to definitely give the nod to Kansas City. But, you know, you looked at earlier this year, you know, people are finding ways to pick off Patrick Mahomes. And that's the reality of the situation, that if Buffalo can, I don't think they're going to necessarily slow Kansas City down. You know, they might stop me here and there, but Kansas City's going to score. They're going to score against anybody in this league. But if they can find a way to kind of manipulate different looks, you know, disguise some coverages and force Mahomes into making one or two mistakes and capitalizing on those mistakes. You know, if they got a pick, they got to make it. I think Buffalo's got a shot, but again, I'm rolling with Kansas City, but I do think this is another one that's going to be very, very close.
Can't wait for it, man. They're going to be a blast. Enjoy all four games. We'll do it again this time next week. Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate you guys.
Luke Wilson, our TSN NFL analyst.